Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. I hope you've had a great Sabbath so far. Can you believe it that another year has ended and another has begun? It's a topic that is very much top of mind at the moment. It's hard to avoid it. We see it all around. We are in the world, though we're not of the world. We're still in, and we are impacted by determined when we start revolving around the sun. Now, we keep God's calendar, and it's definitely amazing and wonderful to look forward to the start of His holy calendar. But for 2025, what will be your vision? What will be your vision for the year? What will be your what commission will you put time and energy and effort into this 365 days? Because it is interesting. We can look back and say, in 2024, I did X. In 2024, I pursued this. I worked hard at that. I improved in these areas. It's a defined period of time, and we have one set before us for any time period, whether it's the Sabbath, whether it's the Feast of the Feast of Tabernacles. Having a vision for that time period is important to avoid being like a jellyfish in the ocean, tossed to and fro by the waves and wind. We don't want to just be meandering through life or floating through life. There is actually a proverb in chapter 29, verse 18. Let's pop over to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, and take a look at some wisdom given to us about the importance of vision. It may actually surprise you a little bit of the Hebrew. Chapter 29, verse 18, it says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint." Revelation can also mean prophetic vision. And the restraint that's being cast off can mean the people are uncontrolled, without order, or naked. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people are naked. They are without. We, as children of God, want to clothe ourselves with a biblically inspired vision to order and direct our way. So, this coming year, as we move towards Passover and the start of the holy days, and just throughout the whole entire year, what will be your vision? Well, we are blessed to have a great biblical vision that we can anchor ourselves to, a mighty commission that we have been tasked with, one which we as Christians should be striving for each and every day. And this is found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, if you'd like to turn there, we have the words, the very amazing words of our Lord and Savior, and it's the end of a passage that really is summed up with the saying, "Do not worry." Do not worry about the physical pursuits. Do not worry about the physical visions, because we could have physical visions, and it's important to have that. We want to have potentially this coming year maybe a better job or more financial stability. This year maybe one of our physical visions could be to improve our health, our vitality. Or we could want a better car or TV or better relationships. It's good to have physical visions for us to direct our energy, but Jesus Christ, He directs us towards a spiritual vision. In verse 33, He says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." All the physical visions, all the physical goals and plans will be added to you, but seek first the spiritual vision. This is what we want to wrap ourselves with. The prophetic vision we want to carry and wear so that we are not naked or without control or order. Brethren, this year in 2025, I want to encourage everyone, as I'm encouraging myself, to make the kingdom of God our vision. This year, let's make the kingdom of God our vision. Now, it's easy to say, well, Dave, hang on. Throughout my entire spiritual life, I've been making the kingdom of God my vision. Kind of like the rich young ruler said, oh, my whole life I've been keeping the commandments. And we can say that because we are honoring God through keeping the Sabbath and holy days. We are tithing. We are eating the clean and avoiding the unclean. We are pursuing these Christian essentials, and rightly we should be. But is that what it means to seek the kingdom of God. Is that what it means? I want to propose to you that to seek the kingdom of God, we need to be seeking it with sweat and tears. With sweat and tears. And the reason why I'm presenting that is to pursue it in such a way is because it really isn't enough just to do those things I mentioned earlier. We have to keep the Sabbath, but is it enough? We have to keep the holy days, but is it enough? Enough. Well, let's also read some more of Jesus Christ's command, his writings. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, because in what we just read, it says to seek first the kingdom of God. And I feel like there needs to be a little bit of understanding of what he means by seek. So Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, we have the same Greek word used for seek in this parable that he gives us. And I think it can help us understand a little bit more about what Jesus is saying in seeking first the kingdom of God. So Matthew chapter 18 and verse 12, we take a look, we kind of jump into a section on the parable of the lost sheep. And though this is referring to lost Christians, it does give us insight into seeking the kingdom. So let's read here in verse 12. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek that one, to seek that one that is straying? And verse 13, and if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Let's consider the scenario here, because that same word seek is used concerning the shepherd and the lost sheep. We have a situation here where after a long day, the shepherd has been grazing the sheep and they're now returning back to the pen or sheepfold considering the onset of night. And at this stage, a shepherd is able to actually count their sheep. When they're out there on the pasture feeding, how do you count 100 sheep with accuracy? But when you pass them through a gate, you can just tap them with your cane as you go, or one, two, three. You can count them with accuracy to make sure you have brought back all the sheep. Now imagine the shock, the distress the shepherd comes to when they reach into the end and they hit 99 and they know they've got 100. Now this shepherd could seek out the lost sheep by standing there by the lamplight as the sun is setting with all the sheep and gaze off into the mountains. I'm seeking this sheep. But no, that's not the case. That's not what seek means. There is a need to diligently pursue. And so the shepherd, even though they've had such a big day and they want it to be done, they want to close the gate and lock it and go eat and sleep. Instead, because their vision is so strong and they know the responsibility that they carry to the master of the sheep, the shepherd ventures out into the dusk, into the mountains, into the wilderness to actively look for this lost sheep. This would have to be the worst time for a shepherd to encounter a predator or rough terrain, the cliffs and crags of the mountain. But yet they do it. They go anyway. And here we have the sweat and the tears being described in this action of seeking. See, seeking isn't that case of just looking, oh, the kingdom's out there. Let's take a photo of the kingdom, put it on the wall, and occasionally look at it and go, that would be nice. I'd like to have that one day. No, the kingdom is taking ourselves away from the easy things, the things that we've grown accustomed to that are normalized in our Christian life, and instead doing the hard things. There is risk and danger in being an active Christian when it comes to seeking the kingdom of God. We've got to be willing, like that shepherd, to run the risk of injury, of sacrifice, in our desire to pursue and lay hold on that vision. There's the sweat of the hard work, and there's the tears of our mental and emotional hurdles that we've conquered through that striving. But the vision is worth it. The vision for 2025 of the kingdom has to be worth it in our minds for us to actively seek it with sweat and tears. We need to, of course, maintain the Christian essentials I described earlier. It's vital that we keep the Sabbath properly in the holy days, and we tithe, and we give offerings, and it's essential that we fast and do these Christian essentials. But is ascension into God's kingdom? No, rather we must be pushing upwards into the mountains, into the realms of our Christianity that are difficult. Because speaking personally, everything I just described is really easy these days. Saying, like, keeping the Sabbath is pretty easy. Avoiding, that's not an issue to me. So what's the hard part? What's the difficult things? Well, definitely more Bible study, more heartfelt prayer, more heartfelt worship, more self-examination, and then actually doing something about it, self-transformation, more outward servants. So these are the hard things. This is what it means to seek the kingdom of God. So let's make that, make the kingdom of God our vision for the year and pursue it with sweat and tears.